Rule number 17. Use no reproachful language against anyone. Even someone who'd been expecting to have as bad a time at Honey Pot Prairie as I had would have to admit that Master Baker Sean put on a pretty good presentation. Okay, it wasn't in 3D, and he didn't have a giant touchpad screen, and there weren't any animatronic dinosaurs. He just showed us how the early settlers had smushed the wheat they'd grown, using a grinding mill, to make it into flour, then added water and yeast to make it into dough. I already knew about the dough part because of Uncle Jay letting my brothers and me make our own dough at Pizza Express, where he works, and also Caroline's dad's girlfriend, Waylin, letting us make dim sum that one time. But I didn't know about milling wheat. Cheyenne and Brittany took especially long turns at the grinding mill, saying things like, "It's so hard, and I can't do it," even though it was totally easy to work the crank. When they got done, they kept giggling and saying how cute they thought Master Baker Sean was in his apron. I swear, they both made me feel as sick as if I were Lauren Freeman, who'd announced she was wheat gluten intolerant. Master Baker Sean had some special non-wheat flour for her. While we waited for the little loaves of bread we'd made to bake, Master Baker Sean took us out behind the bakehouse. There, Honey Pot Prairie was growing the kind of fruit trees and vegetables early settlers would actually have depended on for food back in the 1800s. Okay, it wasn't a path through a jungle simulated to be exactly like it was during the Cretaceous period more than 65 million years ago. But it was kind of cool to walk around the garden and orchards while Master Baker Sean told us what the different plants and flowers were. My mom is trying to grow a garden at our house with things like carrots and lettuce and tomatoes, yuck, in it. Except that squirrels, and Marvin, keep getting into it. People didn't get bored of Master Baker Sean because he said things like, "Locust infestations were a major bummer back then, dude. And nobody can stand a barley midge, man." And everyone seemed to have fun after the garden and orchard tour, putting together our own sandwiches from the bread we'd made ourselves with stuff grown or preserved on Honey Pot Prairie. It was as we were sitting at picnic tables on Honey Pot Prairie Common, finishing up lunch, getting ready to go over to the stables to see how the blacksmith shot a horse, that everything fell apart. Maybe it was because there was so much sugar in the homemade lemonade the Honey Pot Prairie people gave us to drink with our traditional prairie lunch of sandwiches, kettle chips, and apples. Maybe it was because some of us still hadn't worked off all our pent-up energy from when we'd been sitting in the schoolhouse listening to Mrs. Higginbottom. Or maybe it was because we hadn't gotten to play pom-pom pull-away. But if you ask me, it was because Mrs. Hunter got a call on her cell phone and said, "Oh, excuse me, I have to take this. I'll just be a minute." And walked way to the bottom of the orchard, her face glowing in a special way that I could tell meant that call wasn't business. It was personal. But all of a sudden, it seemed like everyone on Team Shawnee went nuts. "Hey, Upchuck," Stuart said, suddenly snatching the coonskin hat off Joey Fields' head. "Nice hat. I think I'll keep it." Then Stuart put Joey's hat on his own head. Patrick Day started smirking like this was the funniest thing he'd ever seen or heard. Cheyenne and Brittany and all of the other girls, with the exception of myself, followed suit.
"Hey, now,"
Master Baker Sean said, not certain what was going on, but knowing something other than a locust infestation was happening, and looked up from the bees he was swatting away. I'll say one thing about Honey Pot Prairie. It lived up to its name. There were a lot of bees, especially around the cups of lemonade we were drinking. They seemed to really want to dive on in there and take a couple of swigs themselves.
"Everybody simmer down now. Blacksmith Todd is going to be here in a minute, and you guys aren't going to want to miss that."
"Oh, what's the matter?" Stuart asked, ducking as Joey reached for his hat.
"Want it back?"
"Yes," Joey said. I could hear the beginning of a bark in his voice. "It's not mine. It's my uncle's. It's his favorite hat. He only let me borrow it as a special favor on the condition that I not lose it."
"Well," Stuart said, "that's too bad, because it's mine now."
Joey looked like he was about to cry. Really, Joey, Cheyenne said. Don't be so immature. I was sitting at the same picnic table as Cheyenne, with Brittany and her buddy Lenny, and my buddy Mary Kay. Not that I wanted to sit with Mary Kay, but I hadn't had much of a choice, with Mrs. Hunter watching. Except that Mrs. Hunter was gone, still off on her cell phone, talking to her new fiancé. That's when I put my cup of too sugary lemonade, Honey Pop Prairie definitely didn't use a mix, down with a thump that made it slosh and a lot more bees rush over to have a few licks. Cheyenne, I said, shut up. To Stuart, I said, give him his hat back. Stuart widened his eyes at me. Ooh, he said, pretending, in the words of President Washington, to be affrighted. What are you gonna do about it? Brittany decided to join in, too. Look out, Stuart, she said. Stinkle doesn't want anyone messing with her boyfriend. Dink land up, Chuck sitting in a tree. Stuart began to sing again, just like on the bus, taking the hat off and tossing it to Cheyenne. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Everyone, with the exception of Lenny and Joey and me and Master Baker Sean, who still just looked confused, joined in, tossing the hat back and forth. First comes love. Around and around went Joey's uncle's hat as he darted back and forth, fighting back tears, trying to get it back, but never quite being able to reach it. Then comes marriage. I tried to help Joey get his uncle's hat back, and so did Lenny. But of course, people caught on that that was what we were doing and didn't toss it in our direction. Then comes Stinklechuck and the baby. A hand reached up and snatched Joey's uncle's hat right out of Marianne's grasp, taking her by surprise. Here, Scott Stampley said, giving Joey his uncle's hat back. He just emerged from the bakehouse water closet, where I totally hadn't noticed he'd been all this time. Joey took the hat and shoved it back onto his head. That wasn't funny, you guys, he said. Gruff! Scott gave Stuart a super mean look. I don't know how he knew Stuart had been the one to start it, since he hadn't even been around when Stuart had done it.
Were you messing with my buddy?
Scott asked Stuart. Scott looked mad enough that, if I had been Stuart, I'd have lied. But Stuart just laughed and said, oh, come on, we were just having some fun. Brittany laughed in a super shrill way. Totally, I mean, what do you expect, Scott? He goes to Pine Heights. What's wrong with people who go to Pine Heights? Cheyenne wanted to know. Well, no offense, Brittany said. She was still laughing a little. But everyone knows Pine Heights is the worst school in the whole town. I mean, nobody with any brains would go there, if they could help it anyway. She and everyone else who went to Walnut Knolls laughed. Except Scott. I guess Scott must also follow President Washington's rule, the 49th, about not speaking injurious words, or using reproachful language, against others. Cheyenne said, exchanging glances with M and D. Excuse me, but we go there? Are you suggesting we don't have any brains? Well, Brittany said sympathetically, you guys can't help it that your families all live on the poor side of town. Excuse me? Cheyenne said. I think it's probably safe to say that this was the first time I ever actually agreed with Cheyenne about something. And that was that Brittany had better shut her mouth. And fast. Except that she didn't, of course. Well, Brittany said, but she didn't look as sure of herself as before. Pine Heights doesn't exactly have the kind of resources and facilities my parents would want for me, or expect from an educational... Oh, my gosh, Cheyenne interrupted. Her jaw had dropped. I think you just said you're better than I am. Brittany blinked a few times. No, that's not what I... They think they're better than we are, Cheyenne said to M and D. They totally do, M said. No girl in a bonnet, Dee said, folding her arms across her chest, is going to tell me I'm poor. I didn't say anything out loud. But again, I was amazed to find myself in complete agreement with Cheyenne, and even with her friends, Marianne and Dominique. I didn't mean you're poor, Brittany said. She looked over at Mary Kay and Lauren and Paige for help. I just meant your school is, right, guys? I mean, everyone knows. Scott Stampley was shaking his head at Brittany.
You've really, he said in disgust, done it now, Britt.
Hey now, Master Baker Sean said, sounding nervous.
I think I hear Blacksmith Todd coming.
I mean, it's kind of true, Lauren said. What Brittany said, isn't it true your cafeteria is also the gym?
Yeah, Paige said. And isn't your gym also the auditorium, where the stage is?
This was all totally true. Walnut Knolls Elementary not only has a separate cafeteria, auditorium, and gym, it has a boys' gym and a girls' gym for when the kids there are doing gymnastics versus basketball. Pine Heights only has one giant room for all of that. So often, when we are having gym, we end up doing cartwheels on top of squash tater tots. Now that I thought about it, Pine Heights was kind of the one-room schoolhouse of our town. But that, I heard myself saying loudly, doesn't make Pine Heights a bad school.
I didn't say it was a bad school, Allie, Brittany said all snottily. Don't put words in my mouth.
Scott Stampley said, actually, Brittany, your exact words were that it's the worst school in the whole town.
And that's not even true, Cheyenne said, thrusting out her chin. Because how many kids from your school went on to the regionals in the district spelling bee, if it's so great? Because Lenny here almost did, and our other classmate, Caroline Wu, actually did.
Cheyenne had a point. I couldn't believe I'd forgotten about that. Pine Heights may not be the fanciest school in our town, but the kids who go there, my friends, are certainly the smartest.
Brittany said, her mouth opening and closing rapidly. Well...
Hello there, youngins,
called a large man in a leather apron as he strode up to us. Team Illini was trailing along behind him, looking excited, probably because they knew they were about to get lunch. I saw Rosemary and Sophie. They smiled at me and waved, not having any idea they were about to walk into a giant fight.
Who all is ready to see some horses?
What? Rosemary asked, coming to stand next to where I was sitting at my picnic table. Is going on over here? Why does everyone look so mad?
Oh, I said. No reason. Those Walnut Knolls kids just think our school is old and falling down and that we're all stupid and poor. That's all.
Rosemary sucked in her breath and glanced at Brittany.
What did you say about our school? She demanded.
It was amazing what a mere look from Rosemary could do.
It was all just a misunderstanding, Brittany stammered. I didn't know what I was talking about.
I'll tell you something about Walnut Knolls, Rosemary roared.
It was at that exact moment that Mary Kay, sitting next to me, jumped up and let out a scream loud enough to wake the ghost of every settler who had ever lived at Honey Pot Prairie.